This is Biotechnica and you're listening to India's first life science podcast, The Voice of Biotechnica.
Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. Truly, as the old rhyme says, it does makes me wonder of all the mysteries that is kept hidden in our universe. When you look up to the night sky, you find diamonds sparkling against the dark. Some large and bright, some tiny as a dot. Yet they are all twinkling away merrily. Have you ever thought that among all those glitters, there might be an old star which is dying? Yes, friends, you have heard it right. Stars also die. Interesting, isn't it? So, my dear friends, I, Samrita, welcome you all to another session of our very own podcast, The Voice of Biotechnica. You must have heard the story of how stars are born, haven't you? Today, let me tell you what happens when they die. We know that a star is born when atoms of light elements are squeezed under enough pressure for the nuclei to undergo fusion. All stars are the result of a balance of forces. The force of gravity compresses atoms in interstitial gas until the fusion reactions begin. And once a fusion reaction begins, they exert an outward pressure. As long as the inward force of gravity and the outward force generated by the fusion reactions are equal, the star remains stable. Clouds of gases are common in our galaxy and other galaxies like us. These clouds are called nebulae. A typical nebulae is many light years across and contains enough mass to make several thousand stars the size of our sun. The majority of the gas in nebulae consists of molecules of hydrogen and helium, but most nebulae also contain atoms of other elements as well as some surprisingly complex organic molecules. These heavier atoms are remnants of older stars which have exploded in an event we call as supernova. Supernova creates an empty space in the heart of the universe, what we call as the black hole. But friends, do you think it is really empty and there is nothing over there? So, what is a black hole? A black hole is not really holes at all. They are the opposite of empty. Black holes have the most matter stuffed into the least space of any objects in the universe. And because they are so compact, they have very strong gravity. This can happen when a star is dying. Here on Earth, gravity is what makes things fall down rather than just float away when you let them go off them. Gravity is what you are measuring when you step on a scale to weigh yourself. Your weight is the amount of force that Earth's gravity exerts on you. The more matter your body contains, the more you weigh. Likewise, the more matter an object has, the stronger is this gravity. The gravity of a black hole is so strong that not even light can escape. Even if a bright light is shining right next to a black hole, you cannot see the black hole. Instead of reflecting the light as other objects do, the black hole just swallows the starlight forever. Any matter that gets too close to a black hole gets swallowed up as well. Because no light can get out, people can't see black holes. They are invisible. Space telescopes with special tools can help find us black holes. The special tools can see how stars that are very close to black holes act differently than other stars. The first idea of black hole came from Einstein's era. The idea of an object in space so massive and dense that light could not escape it has been around for centuries. Most famously, black holes were predicted by Einstein's theory of general relativity, which shows that when a massive star dies, it leaves behind a small, dense remnant core. If the core's mass is more than about 3 times the mass of the Sun, the equation showed the force of gravity overwhelms all other forces and produces a black hole. The first modern solution of general relativity that would characterize a black hole was found by Karl Schwarzschild in 1916, although his interpretation as a region of space from which nothing can escape was first published by David Frankenstein in 1958. Now the question that comes to our mind is, how big are black holes? Well, black holes can be big or small. Scientists think the smallest black holes are as small as just one atom. These black holes are very tiny but have the mass of a large mountain. Mass is an amount of matter or stuff in an object. One kind is called a stellar mass black hole. You can think of it as one big star black hole. Its mass can be up to 20 times more than the mass of the Sun. This type of black hole forms when a big star burns up all its fuel and explodes, something which we call as a supernova. Then what's left collapses into a super compact object, a black hole. Stars must contain quite a bit more matter than our Sun for this to happen. So our Sun and most stars will never become black holes. There may be many, many stellar mass black holes in Earth's galaxy. Earth's galaxy is called the Milky Way. Stellar mass black holes are only a few tens of kilometers across, maybe about 40 miles. Just imagine. Our Sun is so huge that about 1 million Earths would fit inside it. A star with enough matter to become a black hole contains maybe 10 times as much matter as the Sun. Now imagine a star with that much matter shrinking into a space no further across than the distance you can drive a car in less than 1 hour. The largest black holes are called supermassive. You can think of this type as a million big star black hole. Because these black holes have masses that are more than 1 million suns together. Scientists have found proof that every large galaxy contains a supermassive black hole at its center. The supermassive black hole at the center of the Milky Way galaxy is called Sagittarius or Sagittarius A. It has a mass equal to about 4 million suns and would fit inside a very large ball that could hold a few million Earths. So how do black holes form? Scientists think smallest holes formed when the universe began. Stellar black holes are made when the center of a very big star falls in upon itself or collapses. When this happens, it causes a supernova. A supernova is an exploding star that blasts part of the star into space. Scientists think supermassive black holes were made at the same time as the galaxy they are in. Now, we can say one star's end is a black hole's beginning. Most black holes form from the remnants of a large star that dies in a supernova explosion. Smaller stars become dense neutron stars which are not massive enough to trap light. If the total mass of the star is large enough, say about 3 times the mass of the Sun, it can be proven theoretically that no force can keep the star from collapsing under the influence of gravity. However, as the star collapses, a strange thing occurs. As the surface of the star nears an imaginary surface called the event horizon, time on the star slows relative to the time kept by observers far away. When the surface reaches the event horizon, time stands still. and the star can collapse no more. It is a frozen collapsing object. Even bigger black holes can result from stellar collisions. Soon after its launch in December 2004, NASA's Swift telescope observed the powerful fleeting flashes of light known as gamma rays burst. Chandra and NASA's Hubble Space Telescope later collected data from the event's afterglow, and together the observations led astronomers to conclude that the powerful explosions can result when a black hole and a neutron star collide, producing another black hole. So, can a black hole destroy Earth? Black holes do not wander around the universe randomly swallowing worlds. They follow the laws of gravity just like other objects in space. The orbit of a black hole would have to be very close to the solar system to affect Earth, which is not likely. Even if a black hole, the same mass as the Sun, were to take the place of the Sun, Earth still would not fall in. The black hole would have the same gravity as the Sun. Earth and other planets would orbit the black hole as they orbit the Sun now. So will the Sun ever turn into a black hole? The Sun does not have enough mass to collapse into a black hole. In billions of years, when the Sun is at the end of its life, it will become a red giant star. Then, when it has used the last of its fuel, it will throw off its outer layers and turn into a glowing ring of gas called a planetary nebula. Finally, all that will be left of the Sun is a cooling white dwarf star. Now NASA is watching all these activities of the universe. So, the question that you must be thinking is, how is NASA studying black holes? Well, it is using satellites and telescopes that are traveling in space to learn more about black holes. These spacecraft help scientists answer questions about the universe. One space mission that is helping them to do just that is a space telescope called XMM Newton. It was launched into Earth's orbit in 1999 by NASA and the European Space Agency. It observes the universe in high energy X-rays. So if black holes are black, how do scientists know they are there? Right? A black hole cannot be seen because strong gravity pulls all of the light into the middle of the black hole. But scientists can see how the strong gravity affects the star and gas around the black hole. Scientists can study stars to find out if they are flying around or orbiting a black hole. When a black hole and a star are orbiting close together, high energy light is produced. Scientific instruments can see this high energy light. A black hole's gravity can sometimes be strong enough to pull off the outer gases of the star and grow a disk around itself called the accretion disk. As gas from the accretion disk spirals into the black hole, the gas heats to very high temperatures and releases X-ray light in all directions. NASA telescope measured the X-ray light. Astronomers use this information to learn more about the properties of a black hole. So, can we say black holes are truly black? A new laboratory experiment points towards no. Using a simulated black hole made from sound waves, scientists have observed a phenomenon known as Hawking radiation, after the cosmologist Stephen Hawking. A faint energy emission that in theory is created right at the edge of a black hole's event horizon, or the point beyond which even light cannot escape. So who is Stephen Hawking? Stephen Hawking, 1942 to 2018, was regarded as one of the most brilliant theoretical physicists in history. His work on the origins and structure of the universe, from the Big Bang to black holes, revolutionized the field, while his best-selling books have appealed to readers who may not have Hawking's scientific background. Hawking died on March 14, 2018. British cosmologist Stephen William Hawking was born in England on January 8, 1942, 300 years to the day after the death of the astronomer Galileo Galilei. He attended University College, Oxford, where he studied physics, despite his father's urging to focus on medicine. Hawking went to Cambridge to research on cosmology, the study of the universe as a whole. In early 1963, just shy of his 21st birthday, Hawking was diagnosed with motor neuron disease, more commonly known as Lou Gehrig's disease or amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, or short form is ALS. He was not expected to live more than 2 years. Completing his doctorate did not appear likely. Yet, Hawking defied the odds, not only attend his PhD but also foraging new roads into understanding the universe in the decades since. Over the course of his career, Hawking studied the basic laws governing the universe. He proposed that since the universe boasts a beginning, the Big Bang, it likely will have an ending. Working with fellow cosmologist Roger Penrose, he demonstrated that Albert Einstein's theory of general relativity suggests that space and time began at the birth of the universe and ends within black holes, which implies that Einstein's theory and quantum theory must be united. Using the two theories together, Hawking also demonstrated that black holes are not totally dark, but instead emit radiation. He predicted that following the Big Bang, black holes as tiny as protons were created, governed by both general relativity and quantum mechanics. In 2014, Hawking revised his theory, even writing that, quote, "There are no black holes," unquote. At least in the way that cosmologists traditionally understand them. His theory removed the existence of an event horizon, the point where nothing can escape. Instead, he proposed that there would be an apparent horizon that would alter according to quantum changes within the black hole. But the theory remains controversial. Hawking also proposed that the universe itself has no boundary, much like the Earth. Although the planet is finite, one can travel around it and through the universe infinitely, never encountering a wall that would be described as the end. If Hawking radiation comes from astrophysical black holes, not just those created in lab, it would mean that these objects are not entirely dark. It could also help scientists solve a paradox posed by black holes and perhaps shed light on one of the most significant problems facing modern physics. Jeffrey Steinhor, an experimental physicist in Technion, Israel Institute of Technology in Israel, and lead author on the new study, told space.com, said, according to Steinhor, earlier calculations by cosmologist Stephen Hawking, who came up with the theory that bears his name, combined the theories of quantum physics and gravity. The current experiment tests those calculations, providing the first strong evidence that they are correct. Steinhor said, "A black hole is a testing ground for the laws of physics." Have you heard of the phrase swimming against the current? Well, this is a tricky concept in physics that says that pairs of particles constantly blinking into existence throughout space. One is a particle of normal matter and the other is its exact opposite or antiparticle. So the two annihilated one another and there's no change to the universe energy balance sheet. These are called virtual particles. When this happens near the edge or event horizon of a black hole, a particle can avoid complete destruction. One can fall inside while the other escapes. But observing such interactions in nature has remained difficult. The Hawking radiations around a black hole, if it exists, is so faint that it can't be seen from Earth around known black holes, because most of which are very far away. In addition to the distance, the Hawking radiation is likely overwhelmed by radiations from other sources. Stenhouse said, "It makes it seemingly almost impossible to see this very slight radiation coming from the black hole." You know, the same problem applies in a laboratory where any heat can create background radiation that overwhelms the lab-produced Hawking radiation. To eliminate that problem, Stenhouse's experiment ran at less than a billionth of a degree above absolute zero. In the analog black hole, a line of cold rubidium atoms stream from a laser to create a form of matter known as Bose-Einstein condensate. The cold gas flows faster than the speed of sound in one direction, so that a sound wave trying to go against the flow can't manage to move forward. In this respect, the slower moving sound waves is like a particle trying to escape from a black hole. It's like trying to swim against the river, Stenhouse said. If the river is going faster than you can swim, you go backward, even though you feel like you're going forward. The upstream attempt is analogous to light in a black hole trying to escape, he said. Sound waves trying to move forward instead fall backward. If two virtual particles were created near the edge of the event horizon, one particle could be consumed by the black hole, the fast-moving stream, while the other escapes, avoiding destruction. The escaping particles are called Hawking radiation. Just as Hawking theorized, the stimulated black hole spit out the predicted particles, a sign of Hawking radiation. What I saw suggests that a real black hole might emit something, Stenhouse said. The new findings also has larger implications for the field of physics, he said. One of the biggest mysteries in physics is why Einstein's theory of gravity, which describes large-scale interactions in the universe, doesn't seem to be compatible with quantum mechanics, which describes very small-scale interactions. Combining gravity with quantum physics is one of the main goals of physics today, and Hawking made the first step towards that. The simulated black holes tested Hawking's equation, and it turned out that his calculations predicted there should be light from a black hole, and it turned out that his calculations were correct. So, solving a paradox. In one intriguing result of the artificial black hole involved insight into the information paradox. According to Einstein's theory of general relativity, everything that crosses the event horizon of a black hole is consumed, including information. As the escaping particle steals energy from a black hole, the massive object can shrink over time, eventually evaporating into nothing. Of course, this assumes it has stopped consuming nearby material, land, thus instead putting on new weight. Theoretically, a black hole can shrink into nothing, taking with it the information carried by or above the particles it consumed. Stenhouse said, quote, Information has vanished. It's like it goes into the black hole and disappears. Unquote. Since quantum mechanics suggests that information can't be lost, that raises a paradox. According to Hawking's calculation, the surviving particles contain no useful information about how the black hole formed and what it consumed, suggesting that information vanished with the black hole itself. Steiner's black hole revealed that the higher energy particles' pairs remained entangled even after one was swallowed by the event horizon. Entangled particles are able to share information instantaneously even when they are separated by great distances, a phenomenon sometimes described as spooky action at a distance. Steiner said, quote, "Some of the solution to this paradox probably lies in entanglement," unquote. Scientists not associated with the research, who were interviewed by Nature's News and Physics World, both said that while the experiment appears to have measured Hawking's radiation, it does not necessarily prove that Hawking radiation exists around black holes in space. Therefore, the question still persists. What lies within the black hole? As Stephen Hawking said, quote, "All of my life I have been fascinated by the big question that faces us and have tried to find scientific answers to them. If, like me, you have looked at the star and tried to make sense of what you see, you too have started to wonder what makes a universe exist." Unquote. So friends, is there anyone willing to solve this question? Well, please do share your views with us. And remember, the universe is full of magical things patiently waiting for our wits to sharpen. And with this note from Eden Philpotts, I end my discussion here. Hope you find it interesting. Thank you.